And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And oh man, we saw Deadpool. Deadpool 2!
Deadpool the second.
Deadpool dose.
Yeah. I guess we should just get right into it, talk about...
But no spoilers, obviously. We'll be good.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like...
You can't really spoil this movie.
I mean, you can't really... I mean, here's the thing. There are surprises.
Sure.
Surprises.
Yeah.
That definitely make the movie memorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that definitely make it a lot fun. But there are... You know, there's not a lot in terms of, like... I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel... It's not like a Infinity War... You know, where there's a lot of different, you know, things that happen that have come about because of the ongoing Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this case, you know, it's just another, you know, it's continuing, you know, at least as much as it is from the first movie. Mm-hmm. And, I liked it.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I mean, I feel like I liked the first one better.
Yeah.
I liked the first one better. This one was definitely funny, but there was definitely like a, we're going over the same, we're retreading over the same, you know, ground.
Well, it's the way that this movie goes is like, there's a lot of like heavy emotional stuff that they throw in.
Yeah.
And it was like this for the first movie too. There's a lot of heavy emotional stuff that gets thrown in, and then they go
wacky,
go super wacky on a lot of parts. And I feel like they realize that, well, this is the second movie, so we kind of got to up the ante on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some good, a bunch of good gags in there, you know, the stuff with X-Force, you know, the team that he puts together, which is...
That's actually very... I appreciated what they did there, because it did not play out the way I expected, and I was glad that it didn't.
For the rest of the movie to work...
Yeah.
And for it to actually be, like... to be like what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of needed just what you had.
Yeah.
I will say I
wanted more Cable. Wanted more Cable as a fucking unstoppable badass. Because there was that, but there wasn't enough of it for me. I wanted more of it.
Yeah, I felt that he was definitely underutilized. Even though he's like a big part of the movie, he still feels like he's not that much utilized.
Yeah, like he could have done so many more things.
I mean, Josh Brolin did great.
Oh, yeah.
As in that role, and I kind of wanted to see more of it.
Yeah, same.
The thing with Cable is that, and I think it's maybe something where this movie kind of did this, where they're just like, well, we know he's got a fucked up past.
Yeah.
Like the Cable as a concept
is fucked up.
Is just a mess.
Yeah.
You know, giving everything that he is roped in with and all that stuff. But in this case, you know, they kind of were like, he's a time traveler.
Good enough.
Go.
Yeah.
You know, and then we just, you know, and he's got these powers, you know, and he's got these weapons, and there you go.
Yep.
So I was impressed by that. And it worked just fine. You know, because a lot of times, you know, it didn't, you know, people would be very bothered by, you know, the sanctity of the character.
Right.
But in this case, I was like, you know what?
No, it was good.
You didn't.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, is there anything else that needed to be said?
Not really. But yeah, I liked it. Go see it. It's fun. But like I said, I still think I like the first one better.
Yeah, no, I definitely the first one is better. There's, this one's still pretty good, though, but it's not... I mean, geez. I mean, compared to other superhero movies.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I'll be honest, I think Thor Ragnarok was better than this.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
I actually enjoy Thor. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like that movie, and there's a lot of people that really do.
Yeah.
And
I enjoyed it because I'm really not invested in Thor as a character. I just like the idea of having, like, some crazy ass fucking space opera.
Yeah.
With, like, just all the wacky shit that was going on. And it was cool as fuck.
And Jeff Goldblum.
Just being Jeff Goldblum.
Really? I mean, that kind
of... he just showed up and was himself.
He was just like, oh, I just showed up like this. I look like the Collector.
Yeah, whatever, and I'm like, you know what? If you had told me Goldblum came from an orgy just looking like that, I'd be like, of course he did. He's Jeff Goldblum.
That's how he lives.
That's how he lives his life.
Oh, I appeared like this, and I'm cosmic,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah. No, I kind of want... That kind of makes me want to see that movie again, because I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. Go see it, I guess. It was enjoyable. Domino was good.
Domino was actually...
She was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. Yeah, you could just
tell.
There
were a couple good inside jokes that I liked, especially in the tag. Actually had one of my favorite jokes in it.
Oh, yeah.
There were actually two of my favorite jokes in the tag there at the end.
Yeah. There's no big tag at the very end.
No, but I think for me, and this is the problem that I ran into. This is the problem that I have run into literally with everything Ryan Reynolds has ever done. He is a smarmy motherfucker.
Yes.
And it gets a bit much. That's all I feel. Just there's a couple parts where I'm just like, tone down the Ryan Reynolds for me.
Yeah.
Because I know you're just being you. I've had that problem with him forever. Like, I walked out of Van Wilder because of him. Like, I'm just like...
Did you really walk out of Van Wilder?
I did. I walked out of Van Wilder.
I've never actually sat through that entire movie.
I couldn't do it because he just would... Who was it? Tara Reid in that movie? He just wouldn't leave her alone. And he was just, like, doing everything he could to just, like, be gross. And I was like, you know what? I'm out. And I walked out. One of the only movies I've ever walked out of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, sorry. Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, you lost that lady.
You're just a smarmy douche. I don't know. There's just something about you.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was fine. However, I enjoyed the first one.
However, though, I will say that I don't feel like there's really anybody else that I can think that would really do Deadpool justice.
No, I don't either. I think his casting is fine. Like I said, it's just there's certain parts in there where I'm just like, okay, yeah, all right. Okay, we're still going. Okay, now it's over. You know what I mean? Like, that I could feel it dragging, like the joke dragging. Yeah. I was like, that's enough.
Yeah, there was a few moments like that where I'm like, can we stop this joke? I mean, I know it's like, is this like a Family Guy episode or some shit?
Yeah, it got a little bit like that. Cause there were a couple points where I was just like, anytime TJ Miller's on screen, it was basically that for me.
He didn't have much to do, though.
No, he did not. He only had like three scenes.
Well, he's having some trouble lately.
Yes, he certainly
I think
is.
There was.
He was a mess.
I think he's got some other things tending to, so I think that kind of... Yeah, he wasn't as featured in the other movies, in this movie. I guess that's it for Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Was there any trailers before that?
There were trailers. I don't know. There was that Heredity or...
Oh, yeah. I didn't look that up.
That weird horror movie with what's-her-face in it? Toni
Collette?
Yes, her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's something about, like, my grandma died.
No, her mom died, and now she's, like, her dead mom is, like, not gone, and now she's being creepy and, like, hurting people.
Yeah, she's making kids, like, smash their heads into, like, desks and shit.
Yeah.
And, like, then she's, like...
Making Toni Collette crazy.
Yeah.
Who, I would say, is also crazy, because I guess her job is to make miniature things.
Wait, what?
Do you remember she kept wearing those weird glasses, and she kept making, like, little... things, miniature, like people and chairs and stuff,
like in real life.
No, like in the trailer.
Oh yeah. I was like, is it real life?
I was like, is that her job? Like,
maybe she works for one of those Warhammer things.
Maybe because she had like the crazy fucking magnifying glasses. And she,
yeah,
like making all these, and I was like,
I was like, what are you?
Toni Collette's already nuts, like in this movie. Like, maybe that's what we're gonna see. I don't know.
Oh man, yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna. Maybe I'll watch that when it comes to
streaming. Comes to a streaming service.
When I can watch it for free.
Yeah, streaming service near us. Well, today.
Yeah, we had a quite past couple of days.
We did.
Because we saw Deadpool.
We saw Deadpool yesterday.
And then, we also watched, it was real quick, watched a few other movies.
Oh, yeah? We watched some movies?
We watched a movie that you shouldn't watch.
Oh, no. Don't ever watch this movie.
Called Father Figures.
Never watch. It has Owen Wilson and Ed Helms, and it's literally not even a movie.
I don't even know.
I was watching it going, this is going to be a dream sequence, right? And it wasn't. And it just kept going. And nothing made sense. And I was like, why is this person like agreeing to be in this movie as themselves?
Yeah.
Just don't watch it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's probably one of
the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. And I can't believe it was one of those. It was infuriatingly bad.
And
not so much because of people or just the quality of the script and the story.
Oh, it was just, it didn't make any sense. What was so weird about it, because I was just like, but wait, why would this happen this way? Like, not even in a story should this happen this way. It doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever, but we're going to go with it. And that's why I kept thinking, well, this has got to be a dream.
I thought so too. And then I read ahead and I was like,
for sure it was going to be a dream, because it was just too fucking weird and jumpy. And I was like, this has to be this character's dream. No, it's not. It's real fucked up.
It's all real fucking life.
Don't watch it. Don't watch it. It's terrible.
Don't watch it. And then I started to watch. I think you fell asleep through most of it.
I did. I did fall asleep.
But I watched the most recent Mission Impossible movie, which,
because that trailer was in front of Deadpool.
That's right, yeah.
With Henry Cavill's mustache. Also, Henry Cavill fighting Tom Cruise in a bathroom.
Yeah.
And when he squares up with Tom Cruise, I was like, I think Henry Cavill's really going to hit him.
it's like Eastern Promises.
He really does. Like, he just like shakes his, like, and you're like, oh my God, he's really going to fucking hit him.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
I'm looking forward, I kind of look forward to that now.
I am too.
Because I feel like I need to support the mustache.
I loved Henry Cavill's mustache. I'm so sad that he shaved it, because that was a mustache. Like, if you're going to have a mustache, you got to have like a Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Henry Cavill had like one of those like just thick, glorious stashes that you're just like, you know what? Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad he shaved it. I thought it was awesome.
And as those comic book fans know, that is a mustache that
ruined a movie. I'm not gonna say ruined a movie, because that movie was already ruined. That made that movie look worse.
It hugely affected a gigantic blockbuster DC for the first time. Because think about this: it's the first time in fucking history that they've managed to put together a live action Justice League movie.
Yep.
And Superman is in it, and he's got the most fucked up mouth.
Yeah.
Area, you know what? Because he could not take care of that mustache.
It didn't make sense. Just have Superman have a mustache.
Because he was dead already. He came back.
He was dead. He's got a mustache, and he's got crazy facial hair because he was growing in the grave. You know what? I buy it. That's fine.
Growing in the grave. Because, the Superman story.
I mean, there's been many comic books where Superman ends up with a beard.
Uh-huh.
Where his hair gets crazy long.
Yeah.
Go for it. Why not? I would have had no problems whatsoever with a mustachioed Superman.
No, they couldn't do it.
Would have been awesome. Especially because Henry Cavill looks fucking awesome with that mustache.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I should have kept the mustache. I'm just saying.
Just fucking should have did that. And I bet they're probably looking at that now. I mean, maybe they're not. Nobody's looking at that.
No.
Yeah, you know what? Anybody that made the decision to edit the mustache out is like, mustache out is like, we made the right decision.
And also,
nobody can tell me any different. This looks great.
Either that, or they're like, we will not speak of this. They just pretend it didn't
happen.
Of it.
They're definitely not speaking of it. But if anybody like presses them for it, they're like, no, we did the right thing. This looks great. Don't tell me it doesn't look great. It looks great.
That's how Hollywood works.
That's how it works.
That's how Hollywood. That's how shit gets like made, because they're like, oh my God, this is so good. It's just so great, and everyone involved knows it's shit. But you just kept walking.
That's how
walking
father
around.
Figures got made.
Yes, and you just keep walking around telling everybody it's really good and really funny, and oh my God, everybody's gonna love it, even if it is a giant steaming pile.
Uh huh.
Yeah. That's how fucking Hollywood works.
Yeah. No, you what? You nailed it.
I know.
You nailed it. But yeah, that movie, yeah. So I did watch the other Rogue Nation, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
It's pretty good. You know, I like those. Actually, I like those movies a lot.
Mission Impossible movies are great. I mean, I'm not like a fan of the Mission Impossible franchise, but I know if I go watch a Mission Impossible movie that it's going to be fun, and there's going to be gadgets, there's going to be chases and explosions, and in the end, they're going to vanquish the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting when I go watch a Mission Impossible movie, and I'm fine with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need, like, an Oscar bait movie.
No, these are actually really good, like, just popcorn movies.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going to go have fun, I'm going to enjoy this movie, and when I leave, I'm going to be like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and I think this is the fifth one of them.
Probably.
Because it was MI 123, then there was Ghost Protocol.
Mm, yeah.
And then there was this one.
Yeah.
And then the next one is like Fallout. So the one.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Jeremy Renner in the next one?
Yeah, I think so.
Ugh.
Jeremy Renner. Yeah, Jeremy Renner's just showing up.
He's in everything, and you're just like,
everything
oh.
is everything now is now is now and Jeremy Renner.
Well, that's that we saw that trailer for that movie Tag.
Yeah.
Which the premise is ridiculous, but the cast is great.
Yeah.
Except for Jeremy Renner. So it's like a bunch of friends playing
Renner.
A game of tag for the past 30 years. There's one guy who can't get tagged. that asshole is Jeremy Renner.
Well,
but the whole cast is like, you got your John Hamm, you got your Hannibal Buress, you got
the guy from The New Girl.
You got, yeah.
Ed Helms
is in that movie. Like, you have all.
Surprisingly, Bradley Cooper is not in that movie.
Right? Shouldn't he be?
I feel like Bradley Cooper is probably going to make a cameo.
Well, he should have been Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
But there was like, oh. And so I was like, all right, I like all of these people. And Jeremy Renner is also in this movie.
So that's also the thing, because you talked about this. It's like, because John Hamm is like a generation, not a generation, but at least a half a generation older than Hannibal Buress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Hannibal Buress is actually younger than us.
That's what's
not
so
by
weird.
He's about the age of my brother.
Okay, so like by like 3 years.
Yeah, like 3 years.
That's not that much. It's weird to see John Hamm and Hannibal Buress supposed to be friends. Like,
no, not so much they're friends,
they're friends of who are the same age. They've all been playing tag together for 30 years, and I'm like, how?
Yeah.
So yeah, so we did that, but today we went to the hippest place in Los Angeles. We went to Silver Lake.
Well, so it was like Glendale, Silver Lake.
Eagle Rock-ish.
Eagle Rock.
In that general area, because there was a thrift store that I wanted to go up to that services... or that caters to us plus size ladies, because I am not a thin woman. So I was like, I hear there's this cool, you know, independent little thrift store that carries clothes for us big girls, which are very hard to find when you're just like looking like at a Goodwill or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go check this out. So I went, and I'm so glad I did, because I got a fucking jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a jumpsuit before, and it's like lipstick red, and I'm going to wear it, and everybody's going to hate it except me. And I'm very excited.
I don't hate it.
No, Sean doesn't hate it, but I'm wearing it for a very specific occasion, and I think one of the people there is going to hate it. I don't care. I also got this like gold sequined disco dress. It's like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm so excited. So bought that at the thrift store, very excited. And then Sean was like, well, since we're up here, let's go to these comic book stores. And I was like, cool. So we went to, what was the first one?
I'm gonna get it wrong, but I think it's Comics Versus Toys.
Yeah, something like that.
That one was okay.
That one was okay. It was like
very small,
you know, little neat store up that way. So we checked that out, and then we went to
Secret Headquarters.
Secret Headquarters in like Silver Lake proper. You know, it was fine.
It was fine. When I went in there and I kind of looked around, it dawned on me that because I've heard about this store before.
Yeah.
It's much more catered. Well, not catered, but there's a big
indie.
Independent artist.
Yeah.
Presence, you know, they really cater towards that and the stuff.
Sure.
Although there is mainstream stuff. There's a lot of, yeah, obviously there's a lot of DC and Marvel, and there's a lot of books there and stuff. You know, a lot of new stuff. You know, not a lot of no back issues and stuff like that. But
no, they had like a tiny little section by the front. Like,
yeah,
right there by the register.
Uh huh. Oh, that's right.
Where they had a couple like older books, but they were all like $2.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah, because obviously the bulk of their business is for like, you know, independent books
and trades.
And trades and stuff like that. And, you know, because it's, you know, it's just a nice hip place in the.
Oh, everything is so fucking hip there.
It's too hip. It's just uncomfortably hip.
Like, yeah, we can't go there. We're too old.
No.
We're not cool enough.
No.
I mean, you could go, like, the guy, we went to the store and they were like, oh, there's this place called We Have Noodles. And we're like, I enjoy noodles. Let's go to the place that has noodles. And we go in, and like the guy was like he had like gray hair, but he was like the hippest.
Yeah.
He was like one of those hip chefs. He's like, nah, man, this is our menu.
It's the menu. It only has five things on it.
It only has five fucking things on it. And I'm like, I just want regular noodles. I don't.
It's like, why can't I have the little things up there? He's like, no, we're still doing brunch menu.
Brunch,
I'm like, what do you mean? It's like 1 o'clock. It's like 2 o'clock.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want your weird cold chili noodles. That's really like all that was on there, so we left. Anyway, so we went to this store.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm gonna let you tell this story.
So I walk in and immediately I see Jason Mantzoukas. I think this is Mantzoukas, but he has a T in there, so
yeah,
I have to say it. Jason Mantzoukas from How Did This Get Made? The podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Many, you have seen him in many things.
If you've seen him, he's got the big you know, he's a very swarthy gentleman with black hair, big black beard.
He's been in the league.
He was Raffy in the league. He was
hanging out with Sacha Baron Cohen in The Dictator.
Yeah, that's what we saw in the theater.
He was on the Maria Bamford show as a loaf coach.
Has he ever done any superhero stuff? I feel I want to say that he's been on something.
Has he been? You know what?
I don't think he has, but it feels like
he's done a lot. He's got a lot of work.
Yeah,
he was on Transparent as like the doctor who sells weed.
Yeah, so we walk in and immediately I recognize him because he's very distinct.
Yeah,
and I was just like, oh wow, Jason Mantzoukas is here. So you know, and he's like one of those people that like I feel like if I had an opportunity to speak to him, you know, I would be like, oh, I can, you know, maybe we could, I could figure something out for some of the pod in the podcast world, you know, that we could, I can have him be a part of, you know. And he's, you know, he's a very much you know, he's a great guest on podcasts.
Oh yeah,
he's extremely funny and just off the chain and stuff like that. So yeah, but at the same time I'm just like, I'm just gonna leave, I don't want to bother.
Yeah, I feel like Jason Mantzoukas was actually on set at least two episodes of the Gilmore Guys.
Yes.
And I think, did he actually get a role on the reboot?
Probably.
He probably did.
I think everybody did.
Because he likes the Gilmore Girls. So
I forgot they did that.
Yeah. And he was on it, but he did one of the live episodes, and he like just walks on stage as all these women just cheering for these two the Gilmore Guys, Kevin and Demi. And Kevin is this like, you know, homeschooled Christian kid. And Jason Mantzoukas just walks on stage and is like, what a fucks? I was just like, Jason Mantzoukas is me. Like, I just really felt like, yeah, that's just about right.
Yeah, no, he's something else. But yeah, I saw him there, and I was like, hey, I'm not gonna bother him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I think it's normally I don't.
Oh, that's right. He was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I just feel like he would have had something. Like,
he was on The Good Place.
Yeah, so he's done everything.
Oh, he's been everything.
So, but
he was in The Disaster Artist.
Right, right. So, yeah, so I didn't want to bother him. So I was curious what he was buying, you know, like to know, like, well, what's he reading, you know? Because he was looking at just, I didn't really, you know, pay attention to what he was reading, but, you know, he bought some stuff, you know, and then, you know, we left before he did, but, yeah, so that was.
Well, that's not the full story.
Wait, so about the thing that I bought?
No, no, no.
Oh.
So we go in there, and I have a habit of not looking at anybody. Because I think this comes from when I was younger and I was mercilessly bullied in high school. You know, when you're fat, that happens. So I have learned to keep my eyes averted from all people.
Yeah.
I am an introvert. I don't like people. I don't look at people. I am in my own world. It's like I have blinders on and I just kind of...
That's really interesting.
It's weird, right?
Because I can't imagine, like, you have a way of shutting it out. Apparently.
What do you mean?
Like, in the sense that, like, if you walked into a, you know, somewhere and I just immediately recognize him.
This is what's weird, is because I have the ability to literally shut everything else out, no matter how loud, no matter what is going on, and just kind of focus on what I'm doing. You have, like, if there's, like, if we're in a restaurant and it's really loud.
Yeah.
And, like, let's say somebody drops something, you'll literally just, like, roll your eyes and sigh and, like, wait for the din to die down before you'll continue talking. I just fucking keep talking over it because I block it out. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But it bothers you. So I think it's the same basic skill. Like, I'm like, I walk in, I'm doing my thing, I'm looking at my merchandise, I am not paying attention to the people around me. I am not looking at them, I am, whatever they're doing is fine, they are in their world, they are living their lives, I am living my life, it is fine. So walk in, I do not see Jason Mantzoukas. This store is not that big.
No,
how big was it? It's not even the size of our living room.
No, it's about the size of that. I mean, it's just a net very. Yeah,
it's a tiny, small store. Comic book store, and I mean, like you can see all walls. Like it's not huge. No one's getting lost. It's tiny ass fucking comic book store. I do not see Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
Even to the point where we are looking at these weird zines, where one of them that Sean bought, because I was like, "Babe, look at this," and it was called Dead Wrestlers 2, and it's just like a. bunch of drawings of dead wrestlers, and I was like, look at this. Apparently Jason Mantzoukas is literally standing right next to me. Did not see him.
Yeah.
Did not fucking see him. Didn't see anything at all. So Sean's like, oh, I'm going to buy this. And he's like, I have to have this. I'm like, but you already know who's dead. And he's like, well,
it was just a stupid wrestling. I mean, that's stupid. It's some independent artist.
And it's just fun.
He mocked up some wrestling photos.
And put how they died.
And I'm just like, of some bunch of wrestlers. And it's just a pamphlet. And I spent a couple bucks on it.
Yeah. And I was like, Sean's like, I have to buy this right now. Like, he just picked it up and went up front. I was like, okay. So I follow him up. We're like, okay, bye. And I leave. And then we're walking down the street and you made some reference to Jason Mantzoukas, and I was just like, oh, that's a weird reference. And you're like, no, didn't you see him? And I was like, no.
I was like, I literally walked in.
You're
there.
Like, he was next to you. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking see him. Didn't see
him. Yeah, then we're standing at the light and then he's comes walking
like
out.
I walked into Jane Lynch and didn't realize I'd walked into Jane Lynch. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. And I told him, I'm like, I'm the worst at this or the best.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm the person they want. Like, famous people want a bunch of me's who pay them no mind whatsoever.
And then I'm trying to think if there's something else comic book related.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah. I think I feel like, there's more to come.
Sure.
You know, that's a few more shops I realize that are out here that I've never been to. So,
yeah, I don't think we've ever been to most of the ones over there.
No, there's a few, there's like one or two more there that I think we haven't checked out that I would like to.
We did, however, drive by one of the buildings. So when we first moved out here, like before we moved out here, we took a trip out here because Sean had an internship. So we drove from Boston to here so Sean could like figure his shit out. But we like, we're driving around being like, okay, we're gonna move here afterward. And here's a building I found that has like some cheap apartments. Let's go look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we drove by this building, like there's just like piles of trash outside of it, like in the front. And also on the side, you could see like where the air conditioners were. And somebody had like a hibachi grill like on top of their air conditioner. And I remember being like, we are not living in that building because it just looks like it's just like teeming with roaches. And we drove by it today. And I was like, there's that building we hated.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little memory.
That's why we don't live in Silver Lake.
Yes.
Also, too many hills.
Way too many hills. When we first moved out here, we had a stick shift. That would have been a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I just get anxious as looking at it.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
So, we had an interesting couple of days.
We sure did.
And now we have an interesting book to talk about, so we'll take a break and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Born and raised to make a kill, she was not given her own will. Her first hit left her feeling only disdain. She ran to Gotham's no man's land, learned from Barbara Gordon's hand, that starts the legacy of Cassandra Cain. Rising from the devastation of no man's land, a new warrior joined the Bat family. Daughter of David Kane and Lady Shiva, trained from birth to be the ultimate killer, but choosing instead to save lives. She's been Batgirl, Black Bat, and Orphan. She is Cassandra Cain. Join Mike Staley as he goes through every appearance of one of DC's most underrated characters in Silent Night, the Cassandra Cain podcast. On iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and at silentnight.podomatic.com.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is The Brave and the Bold, number 79, from August to September 1968. We've been doing a lot of 90s stuff lately.
Yes.
So I figured it'd be a good time just to go back in time and mess with something a little bit older.
Yeah, and this is from the trade that I bought when we went to Meltdown.
Yeah, the Bronze Age Batman, Best of Brave and the Bold,
yeah.
Batman Bronze Age.
Which
collection.
We haven't read anything out of that yet.
No, but I mean, we absolutely adore these books.
Oh, yeah, they're so much fun.
You know, there's a lot of these are, this is prime Bob Haney.
Oh, yes.
You know, prime Jim Aparo.
Just fucking weird shit going on.
Neil Adams is the artist, so okay. Yeah, because because Dead Man's in this book, too, so he's all about this here, but. So as mentioned, Batman and Dead Man in Batman in Brave and the Bold, number 79. And in the cover, it has Batman all...
He's laying on the ground. He looks like he's been in a fight. His costume's all fucked up.
Well, I find it interesting that part of his costume is shredded, so like his glove is shredded.
His glove is also shredded.
But it also kind of like just randomly shreds into, I don't know, it just looks weird.
It is weird. It's like, so his costume's all ripped up, and Dead Man is coming out of his body.
Because that's what Dead Man does.
Because, you know, that's what, yeah. And he is saying, I wanted Batman to find my killer, but instead, I'm causing his death.
And yeah, this pose that Dead Man is doing, I feel like anytime you see, like, a drawing of Dead Man, like a Neil Adams drawing of Dead Man from, like, the 70s or whatever, or 80s, or the 80s, he's always doing this pose, like, he's always got, like, you know, his hand out, like, ah, you know, because he's anguished, you know, because he's Dead Man, he's dead, you know, and he can't know, he can't, and the thing about Dead Man that often slips my mind about him
mm-hmm.
is that he exists.
Yes. You know, he, would you forget that he exists?
No. He exists, but only in a astral sense. Like, he doesn't have a like a physical presence.
Yeah.
You know, and so the only way that he can communicate with somebody is by going inside of their body and controlling that and speaking.
Yes, to somebody else.
You know, somebody else. Like, and being,
or
like,
leaving a note.
Or leaving a note or doing that stuff. Like, he has to do that. That's the only way people know, because they can't see him.
Yeah.
You know, at least.
Well, it depends. Some of the mystical people can see him.
Yeah, the mystical people, like Dr. Fate could see him. Phantom Stranger could see him. Like,
and
a lot of those.
Like, I think Zatanna can see him.
Yeah. And a lot of those. Certain John.
Yeah, Constantine can see him. And there was even that Justice League Dark where didn't they do some sort of, like, Dr. Fate did a spell or Constantine did one where Batman could see him for, like, the duration of whatever they were doing. Was that in that animated movie, that Justice League Dark?
Yeah.
Batman was in it for, like, no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they threw him in there.
Yeah.
We should go back. Do we own that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I probably should own it.
Yeah.
But that's how, you know, Deadman, but he's always, you know, putzing around. I think Deadman looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually, it's always fascinating to me, too, because this is a costume he's wearing. Like, even the white face and everything
is a costume.
That's what it's supposed to be, is that he was, like, a trapeze artist who was also dressed as, like, this ghoul kind of thing. And
that's when he died.
That's when he died, so now he just looks like that all the time.
Yeah, so, I mean, if anything, the lesson that we can all take from Dead Man is make sure you're always wearing something you don't mind dying in.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be stuck in it for all of eternity, you don't want to be, you know, just wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, you don't want to be wearing, you know.
Because, I mean, nobody ever reports a sweatpants ghost. Nobody's ever just like, oh my god, I saw a ghost and he was wearing, like, a 1987 Bears shirt and some sweatpants. And he was carrying a beer. And it had, like, a, you know, like a ketchup stain on him or whatever. Like, they're always Victorian ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah, all the Victorian ghosts, they're always dressed impeccably.
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing. They're like, you only get to hang out as a ghost if you're dressed nicely.
Oh.
Other than that, make sure
you're dressed good all the time. That's why Paul F. Tompkins will make a great ghost.
Oh, Paul F. Tompkins is going to be the best ghost.
He's going to be the best ghost.
Can't wait. But that ghost had such a nice suit.
He's always wearing a suit. I don't think he's worn anything but a suit in the last, like, 25 years.
Yeah, no, all he wears is a suit. And I, so yeah, Paul F. Tompkins, great ghost.
So basically, Deadman's like, Batman, I've killed you. And above them is a guy with a hook.
Hook for a hand,
who is one of the people that, who's the guy that, somebody with a hand for a hook.
Yes.
Shot and killed Boston Brand.
When he was doing his trapeze thing.
And now, in order to achieve his peace or whatever.
The idea was he couldn't move on until he found his killer.
Right.
And then he eventually finds his killer, and then he chooses not to move on.
I think so, yeah. I was thinking about that.
I think that's the whole thing that happens.
Yeah.
So
that's what the cover is. And then this says Track of the Hook, which is the title of the story.
Yeah.
I also like that, so you have their logos, and so you have, you know, presents Batman. Yeah. You know, you got Batman with the, you know,
Batman.
And with Batman above it with his cape.
Yeah.
And then there's Deadman, but Deadman's logo is just like, it's just the word Deadman.
Yeah.
But you got, like, Deadman, a little Deadman face in there.
Yeah, in the D.
He's like, bleh.
He's like, I'm gross.
He's like, I'm here. So Track of the Hook. So we start off with some guy getting, with the aforementioned man with the hook.
And the way they actually do this beginning, because some guy gets murdered in an alley.
Uh-huh.
Some guy gets shot by a guy who has a hook for a hand.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, I like the way this is drawn.
It actually is drawn very good. And now that I look at it, it actually makes some sense for stuff later. Yes, but go ahead.
And it's like kind of, it's very cinematic the way it's drawn. And it's also very, and I'm sure everyone has heard this story, but the people parked up on Lover's Lane and all of a sudden there's a hook scratching because somebody escaped and they had a hook and there's a hook on the door when they get home and blah, blah, blah. Remember that story, I'm sure.
Right.
So that urban legend.
Uh-huh.
So that's immediately what I thought of. Now, I don't know if that was an urban legend at this time.
Okay.
I don't know. Because this is like, it might have been. But that's what this makes me think of. Even though it's a totally different setting. It's just, that's the first thing I thought of.
Right. Okay. Well, I like the way this is, though, because later on, we find out there was a witness.
Yes.
And now I'm just noticing, so, you know, because we see...
Oh, there's the witness right there.
Here's the witness, here's his eyes, and then here's his face. Like, oh. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing in the alley.
Oh, well, you know...
Maybe he'd been having a time.
He might have had to go to the bathroom. Or maybe there weren't any Starbucks back then.
Oh, that's true. Maybe he's just taking a good, big old shit in the alley.
He might have just been peeing. He stopped by the bar. He's like, I gotta pee real quick.
Yeah.
You know, went to hide behind some trash cans, and oops, I saw a murder.
Yeah, saw a murder. You know, there. So I didn't notice that until just looking at this. I just assumed it was just somebody getting shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, we also have this guy here. So, and so then we just jump to
Batman and Gordon,
and they're
looking at a corpse. Look,
as they do, Batman says, "Eat."
Yeah.
So the guy that's dead, Batman's. You know, Gordon's like, you know who he is? He's like, yep, Whitey Marsh, commissioner, small-time drifter, jack of all trades. No connection between him and the...
He doesn't say jack of all trades. He's a jack of all...
Jack of all rackets, excuse
rackets.
Me. Tennis rackets, badminton rackets. It's very good with rackets.
They're so good.
He says, no connection between him and the big crime syndicate we're after, just a routine rub out.
Which I thought was hilarious.
I know that's...
I know what he's saying, but it's just funny. Because I'm sure Batman has many routine rubouts.
Oh, he sure
does. Oh, jokes.
Yeah, is it the Batcave rubout?
Mm-hmm.
So as he's looking over his body, Deadman just happens to show up at the time. He's like, "Oh no, I got here too late," and you know, it looks like I was here to ask him for help with my murder, but now I can't because now there's another murder and shit. What am I going
to
do?
Because Batman doesn't seem to give many fucks about this dead guy.
No, he's just helping out.
Well, yeah. And so, like, the press shows up, and there's, what are they calling this guy?
Kubla Kane.
Yeah, he's this blonde dude. And they show up, and they're like, we're the press. This is back when the press could just, like, walk up to a crime scene and just start photographing dead bodies.
Yeah.
Which was a thing back then. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're the press. We can do whatever you want. And they're like, hey, because there was no idea of, like, we have to preserve this crime scene. We have, you know what I mean? Like, forensics was not nearly what it was today. So they would just, like, walk in. Like that was done all the time.
There's
so,
like actually no police here. It's like it's just basically Gordon, Batman, and then
the press show up, and they're just like basically standing on the body taking pictures of it.
They're like, oh, dead, right? So they're taking a bunch of pictures,
and they're fighting with the press because the guy's like, you know, what are you going to do about this? Blah blah blah. And Batman and Gordon kind of get into a little argument where they're like, well, we think it's the syndicate. No, we don't think it's the syndicate. Like Batman doesn't think the syndicate had anything to do with it. Gordon does, and then they also disagree with who they believe is in charge of the syndicate.
Yeah.
So Gordon thinks it's like Coltrane.
Yeah. Who, some guy, Big Jim Coltrane.
Yeah, so it's a jazz musician. And Batman thinks it's someone else.
Buick LeSabre.
A car. It's a car.
It's the Buick LeSabre. Because they're looking for this guy, the person, the leader of the syndicate is the king.
Yeah, it's the king.
Ooh, maybe it's Jerry Lawler.
Oh, it is Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler. He's a guy. We grab they just show up and they just find Jerry Lawler. And he's like,
just standing.
He's like, hey guys, I'm Jerry Lawler. It's puppies. He's got his hat. And
does Jerry Lawler have a high, creepy voice like that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Where he just sounds like he's like...
Mickey Mouse, yes.
Yeah.
When he's doing his commentary and he's kind of like, you know, oh, look at that, JR. JR's like, back off. Yeah, that's, I mean, I've watched, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. Like, Jerry Lawler would be like, oh, look at that woman. Oh, look at that. Oh, puppies, you know, boobs, you know. And JR would be like, Jerry Lawler, back off. You know.
Yep.
That was wrestling.
Yeah, well, good for wrestling.
So they're like, yeah, they're arguing. So as it's happening,
yeah, because Batman does. He's like, I got shit to do, and so he's gonna go leave.
Uh-huh.
And Boston Brand's like, no, Batman.
No, no. Well, as this also real quick, as this happening, this Kubala guy, this Kane is just like, by God, Kane. He's like, you know, you guys don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. What about your assholes?
Yeah.
You know, and so Batman's like, look, fuck this shit. I gotta go do something. And then Deadman's like, oh, but I came here. I need for you to help me.
Yeah, but he also says something like, you know, everybody's death matters.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as like a routine murder.
Right.
You've got to go ahead and do something.
Well, also what happens here, too. Well, this is actually what we're forgetting a part here. So there's this, the witness shows up.
Oh, that's right.
And the witness is like, hey, I saw this happen. I'm a witness. I was taking a shit in the alley and because I couldn't find a Starbucks.
I also was doing a routine rub out.
I was, yes. Routine rub out. I was like, you know it, buddy. So he's
behind these disgusting trash cans. Just what works for me. Don't judge me.
So he's like, yeah, I saw this guy get shot and he had a hook. And so, of course, the guy, you know, the hook hand, you know, has got Boston Brand all fucking, you know.
As if there's only one person in the entire world with a hook hand.
He's like, what about Buster Bluth?
Right? He could have shot Boston Brand.
Yeah, what about Captain Hook from Peter Pan?
Right.
What about...
I'm certain there are more hooked people. Captain Hook.
I just said him.
I know, but I was trying to think of another hook guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more.
There was a DC guy, a guy that came up in Bloodlines. He had a hook.
I'm sure there are many pirates.
So, but you know, Boston Brand's like, oh, Hook, hey, Batman, you got to take care of this. And Batman's like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go and like do
Batman,
you
know, things.
I'm going to try to figure this out on my own or try whatever. And so Deadman.
Yeah, so Batman's walking away. And there just happens to be a dude walking by.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Deadman's like, going in this guy's body, and I'm going to grab Batman.
So he grabs Batman. Okay, so he grabs Batman, and immediately he's like, hey, Batman, I'm this guy's brother. I'm the guy that's dead. I'm his brother.
Investigate his murder.
You better investigate his murder.
And Batman's like, that guy didn't have a brother.
He's like, he didn't have a brother. And he's like, well, you're not good enough. So he starts. So
Boston Brand just punches Batman in the face.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, what? My murder's not good enough. And he just starts swinging. And you're like, wait, what? That's not even a logical leap. That makes no. Why would you start swinging if he's just like, wait,
why
a
would
second.
Batman be thinking that he should help you now?
You just punched him.
Now that you tried to punch him. So this poor guy that he's inhabited.
Just a random dude. Random guy off the street. So, of course, what happens? Batman punches the dude in the face.
Yeah, Batman's defending himself.
Yeah, because he just got punched.
Yeah.
So he punches him in the face, and Boston Brand's like, oops, and he just leaves, and this guy just, like, collapses.
Well, Batman punches him in the face, and then he punches him really hard in the gut, and the guy falls, and Batman's like, oh, shit, I didn't hit him that hard. I'm like, what do you mean, Jen? It's like, yeah.
You just fucking uppercut that guy.
Like, you punch this guy right into, like, the diaphragm. The guy cannot.
You knocked Guy Gardner out with one fucking punch. Are you kidding me? You didn't punch that guy that hard?
And so this guy recovers, and he's like, Batman, you beat me up! And he's like, what?
He's like, wait, you hit me first. He's like, nope. And of course the press is there, so all of a sudden all these photographers...
Well, this guy's like, I'm Bill Rawls, law-abiding citizen. Police, police! And then he just goes, runs over to the thing. He's like, Batman, beat me up!
So everybody starts taking pictures of Batman. Batman runs away.
Yeah, he's like, get the fuck
he's
out
like,
of
here. What the fuck, man?
And so as that's happening, Batman for some reason is just walking down the street.
Yeah, he just keeps walking down the street.
Walking down the street, and Deadman's following him, and he sees a car speeding up, and he's like, oh shit, I better jump into Batman. Because he doesn't know this car coming, and this car, you know,
is trying to run him down.
Trying to run him down.
He's walking down the street. Like, on the sidewalk, not, like, up on the rooftops.
Because at one point, he's up in the air, and then he goes back on the street and just
walks
down the
street.
Yeah,
he's like, fuck it.
Yeah, you know, and then...
Gotta go catch that train.
And then, thankfully, after the car leaves, Alfred shows up, and Alfred's like, get the fuck out of the car.
But Deadman is still inside Batman's body.
Yes.
So he's like, oh my god. He's like, yeah, where are we going? He's like, well, home, of course. And he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna find out the identity of Batman?
Yes.
So
they get home, and Batman, so Bruce Wayne, or so Alfred, for some reason,
doesn't take him to the Batcave. They're just, like, in the living room.
He goes to the living room, and he says, "Here we are, sir. Now you can become Bruce Wayne again."
Yeah. Yes.
Next time I come in the house, can you be like,
"Oh,
Sean, you're home. Now you can become Sean Merrick again."
Yes.
Or the angry hero again, or whatever the fuck you want to call me.
And he's like,
or maybe I can become Bruce Wayne again.
Sure, you can be Bruce Wayne if you want. And Boston Brand's like, "Man, even me and that the low life carny from the gross flea bitten carnival knows who Bruce Wayne is," or whatever. And he's like, "Oh, hey, look, a tape recorder. I'm going to use this tape recorder.
I'll show them. I'll record everything."
Pretty much. So he sits down and he's like, "I'm going to tell you a story."
Basically, he records his origin and explains this to him, and then Batman plays it back.
So Batman, like, wakes up and he's like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, wait. Weird. So I'm going to push play on this recorder.
Now it's my own voice talking to me." So basically, he's listening to his own podcast.
Yeah, he's listening to his own podcast.
This is Alex Inc.
Yeah.
This is how Alex Inc. started.
This is exactly how Alex
that dumb show that got canceled. This is how this started.
I am not surprised that show got canceled.
No, neither am I.
It didn't know what it wanted to be.
Oh, well, didn't want to be a podcast show. I'm going to tell you that.
So he's like, "Oh my God, fascinating. I can't believe somebody like Boston Brand actually..."
He's kind of sitting here with his hands, his hands just kind of tucked on his face.
Like a little kid.
Like a little kid's like, "Gee, Willigers, this is grand."
Yeah, so he's like, "Okay, well, I'll help." And so he's like, "Well, first I have to go to dinner. So I'm going to be Bruce Wayne." Deadman is in the back with him, but he's just like, "I'm assuming you're here, Deadman." So basically he's just talking to nothing. And no one, but we see Deadman, but no one else can see Deadman.
Nope.
Not even he can
see. Not even Alfred can see. Alfred can't see Deadman. Alfred's just like, "Whatever, dude."
Bruce can't even see him.
But Bruce is just talking
he
out.
He assumes he's there. He might be wrong. So he's like...
Yeah, Deadman's like, "I was taking a shit."
Yeah, Deadman's like...
"I was in that guy again. He was taking a shit.
I had to go do an alleyway rub out, man."
I was in an alley rubbing one out.
It's an alleyway rub out. It happens. So he's like, "Yeah, I got to go meet with that reporter guy. He's a super rich dude. He lives at this place called Xanadu," which is like...
Well, he has this giant, what looks like a Mayan temple.
His mansion is basically a Mayan temple.
He has a Mayan temple.
Which, that's red flag number 9,000.
He pulls up, and then he pulls up, and they're looking at it. And Bruce is still talking to Deadman.
Yeah, and he does this when they're walking down the hallway in the next panel.
Yeah, well, he's talking to him, and I like when they pull up, and Deadman's like, "What a pile this is."
No, he doesn't say what a pile. He tells Bruce that he's full, that that's a pile of shit. What he just told him was a pile.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to go to this dinner. And he goes,
Wow,
what a pile.
I thought he was looking at the building.
Well, it could be the building, or it could be that he doesn't believe Bruce because
immediately
second.
He's like, "Xanadu, dead man. That Kane's a little bungalow. It befits the world's richest man." No, and so I'm almost like, it could, you know what though, but I didn't think of it that way, and I feel like it could apply.
It could apply either way.
Because Bruce is so dumb, he's just like, "Yeah, that's a city," because basically, you know, he can't hear Deadman.
Yeah.
So Deadman, you know, he's like, "Hey, Deadman, I'm gonna go and like do this shit, and it's gonna help you." And Deadman's like, "What a bunch of horse shit."
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
He's like, "Look at that house."
Yeah.
And then Bruce is like, "Look at that house."
Yeah, look at this, it's called Xanadu, blah, 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 blah. And there's this weird drawing where like Deadman and Batman are in the back of the car. Alfred is driving, obviously, but there's a guard. And like as Batman and Deadman are staring at this like Mayan temple, the guard has a dog that is like trying to murder Alfred.
Yes.
And it's just this like weird drawing of like this dog like trying to bite the fuck out of Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah. Alfred's just like, bite me, dog.
So then we get inside and they're walking down the hallway and Bruce is still talking. Still talking to Deadman. Yeah. So basically he is talking to himself while he's walking down this hallway.
So Deadman decides to hop inside a waiter and then he goes and starts searching for some, he does intel.
Yeah, just some evidence that this guy's with the syndicate.
Yeah, he does intel, and then Bruce is having dinner with this Kane fellow, and the Kane fellow is like, "You know, the fucking police and Batman suck ass, so like..."
It's like, "We're rich, Bruce. We don't have to worry about
it. We're rich, and maybe
you
can help me bring down the syndicate." And Bruce Wayne's like, "Duh. Eh, you know what? Eat my ass. I don't wanna."
Bruce Wayne is just basically like,
He's just like, oh, can I have more of this giant ham on the table?
I love ham.
He's just like, look, a ham!
Pretty much.
That ham is called Xanadu.
Doesn't he get a note at this point?
Well, then dead man, as a butler, shows up, and he's like, yo.
Have some coffee. Also a note.
Also a note. I love you.
And it just says,
will you meet me after study hall, dead man?
Yes, no. D-man is how he says it.
D-man.
This is D-man.
The D-man. He's like, oh, D-man. Oh, he's like, I'm going to go have a rub out.
Yeah. Ooh, what's up, D-man?
If that's not an invitation for a rub out, I don't know what is.
I know.
So he drops you a note. It's like, hey, didn't find anything about this.
You're like, all right.
Bruce Wayne's like, you know what? I'm rich. I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Let's have a fucking party.
Yeah. Oh, Bruce Wayne is here to party.
He is here to party. Him and the D-man. So he's, it's funny because I just like this. Bruce is like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to do that shit. You know,
he's like, bye.
And Kane's like, oh, man.
That sucks.
We should, like, do this shit, but you don't want us. So I guess we suck.
So, okay, bye. And so he gets in the car and they leave, and Bruce changes into his Batman gear, and then they get out somewhere.
Okay, what happens is, so Bruce, Deadman jumps into Alfred, and they go to check out this LeSabre fella who's connected to the syndicate.
Oh, that's right.
So then Batman's putting on his Batman outfit, and he sees, like, a stool pigeon guy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I recognize that
guy. So Batman just runs out of the car, and, like, Alfred's like, what?
Yeah.
What, I must have fell asleep. So they chase this guy down.
And they're like, talk, dude.
Yeah, like, talk, tell him what's up. And, you know, and he's like, well, there's this new guy out of town.
Oh, but don't forget that Deadman just jumps into a random old man who's walking down the street.
No, he runs by a newsstand. And in order to stop this guy, this guy, the stool pigeon from running, he jumps into the guy tending the newsstand and throws newspapers out there.
Yeah.
So he trips.
But then he stays in the old man's body so he could ask him questions.
Yeah. So basically we find out Big Jim Coltrane imported a goon named Monk Manville to shoot this Whitey Marsh guy.
Yeah.
And then they see a headline.
And they don't know, he's never seen him.
Yeah.
So he can't tell him if he has a hook for a hand or anything because he just heard about this guy.
And so, we see the headlines. Apparently, the guy, so this Kane guy who Batman just met with,
yes,
is now running for mayor.
Yeah, because that's what all these people do.
Everybody's running for mayor. You can apparently run for mayor at all times.
Constantly. It is always election year. There's always a campaign going on in Gotham City.
Yeah, it's like California. It's fucking
pretty fucking much, dude.
Fucking voting all the time.
I'm like, oh my god, how many fucking elections are there?
So Batman, and I do like that. So it says Kane's running on reform, and then it says Batman is an alt citizen. It's got a picture of Batman. I think he's the guy he punched.
Yeah.
I think I'm assuming it's him punching this guy.
See, I don't know how they got that shot, but okay.
Well, the press was there.
Yeah, but they weren't there until he started. He ran over and said, Batman, beat me up.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they posed. It's like, oh, I'm pretending you're punching me. Arr!
Someone wear this fake Batman mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And punch me in the face.
So they're like, oh, shit. Everything's all fucked up.
Yeah,
so
thanks a lot, Boston. Now I got this fucking trumped up charge.
Yeah, and so he's like, well, look, we got to go find Big Jim Coltrane hired Monk Manville. So now we got to go find this Monk Manville.
So they go to the place where he's supposed to be staying. It's, like, all cleaned out because he's gone. And apparently the only thing left is just a picture of Monk Manville.
Yeah, all stuff is his headshot.
He's just like, I left my headshot just in case.
His assassinator.
And Batman's like, Boston, this can't be the right guy. He has two hands.
Yes. Dead man's like, ah, I'm going to continue being a dipshit here. And Batman looks at the back of the photo.
It's a headshot.
It's a headshot, and it's, you know, and apparently instead of having his acting resume,
yeah,
and it would be great if it was just a picture, and it was four different pictures, and it's like
one of them, he's like dressed like a construction worker.
Well, right, it's a picture of him with a gun. It's like, here's me, and then here's just me with an eye patch. I don't do TV, So literally Batman's like, well, shit, now I gotta drop this case, dead man. And dead man's like, what the hell, man? You can't drop my case.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
You suck.
And it's like, which is, you know, I'm like, dead man, fucking find something, somebody else to help you.
Yeah, go away.
Go jump in somebody else's body, stick around in their body, go find Batman.
I know. Like, what the fuck? But
like, go
anyway.
Jump in like Dolph Lundgren's body or something. Right? I don't know.
So Batman, they swing out. And where do they go after this?
Well, Batman sees on the back of the photo, he sees something and he's like, oh God, we got to go
to this place.
And, we gotta go find this garage. We gotta go to Whitey Marsh's garage.
Oh, that's right. So, we have to murder someone.
Because this is where...
Oh, and as they're, like, going to the garage, yeah. There's, like, a truck wandering around that's, like, hired by that...
Kane.
The Kane guy being like, vote for me because Batman and Commissioner Gordon are garbage. And...
Literally, that's what he's saying. Yeah. I like that. It's just like, can I just get a truck and just ride around and be like...
Yeah. It's just... And this is...
This guy
by the way,
sucks.
This is not, like... 6 o'clock at night. This is like 10:30 at night, and this guy's just like wandering around, just being like playing from a loudspeaker down every fucking street in Gotham, just like fuck Batman and Jim Gordon. Let me be mayor.
He's like, oh, 10:30. Sounds like the fuck Batman trucks coming by. Ooh, there's also one that's in Spanish. It comes by. It's a different truck. It's just a bunch of different languages. It's just like,
you know, yeah, you want to make sure you get everybody.
You get everybody. You got the
this
Dutch
is,
truck.
This
Dutch
is like,
truck.
This is like when you go to the DMV and they have a list of the languages and you're just like, I need an interpreter in this language. It's just the truck just going around, just playing everything in different languages.
You know it's not done until you hear the Mandarin truck.
Right?
That comes by saying that Batman sucks ass
yeah,
and Gordon's.
Yeah. Fuck Batman.
Fuck Batman. So they go into this garage because apparently on the back of the photo, Monk wrote the dates he met with his parole officer.
Yeah, well, why not?
But he wrote his real name.
He had to use his real name. Hold on a sec. So okay. Basically what they're telling you is that Monk took a picture of himself.
Himself holding a gun.
A big 8x10, by the way.
Yes.
This isn't some like bullshit like wallet size you're gonna give your friend.
No,
he
did not go to Sears. He did not go to Sears. Maybe he did, we don't know.
So he's got his big his 8x10 of him that he got at Sears.
Can I get one with the lasers in the back?
Holding his gun. And the gun is in this background, like in that little bubble. And so he flipped it over and he just wrote my real name is whatever. I met with my parole officer this day, this day, this day, and this day. Like, that is what they're basically saying. That much information was on the back of this fucking picture.
Right. And so it turns out his real name.
Oh, no.
Is Max Chill. Because this is the Batman book. And Joe Chill.
Yes.
Killed Batman's parents.
Yes. I do like Max Chill is like Max Power.
Max Chill is a great name. It's disappointed that they wasted it on this stupid story.
Yes, because really like Max Chill is like something you should have like a deep freeze, like a setting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max Chill.
Like Max Power.
Max Chill, I am also an air conditioner.
Yes.
It's Max Chill, the human air conditioner. Watch out, guys.
That's his mutant power. He's like, I'm in the wrong universe.
Oh, yeah, I should be in the mutant. I have to go trial for X-Force.
that's what was supposed to be on the back of this fucking headshot.
Oh, that's fun. See, exactly. See, he missed. It's the wrong thing. It's the wrong movie. He's in the wrong era.
He was trying to get his shit together because he's like, I want to be on X-Force.
We need Cable to go back in time and get this guy back into the right thing.
They got to go grab him.
Got to go grab him. Max Chill, the human air conditioner, is... is just there waiting to be
a part of the team
on a team and an available superhero. Yeah.
Yeah. So they go to this garage after finding the headshot with all the information ever that no one would ever write on the back of a headshot. And so they go to the garage.
And Batman's like, "Oh shit! Max Chill said he would get me because I caused his brother's death."
Yeah, because his brother's dead or something. So basically, at this point, we're just like in one of those like Hatfield and McCoy blood feud things, where it's like Joe Chill killed Batman's parents, so Batman put him away and is technically responsible for his death. So now Max Chill is going to have to kill Batman. And it's just this like never ending blood feud. So they go into like the place, the garage. They open like the storage unit, and it's just filled with slot machines.
Yeah, it's filled with pachinko machines. Is this the Konami warehouse?
Yeah, it still has like coins coming out of them. Of, like they have money in them still. And so all of a sudden, hey, guess who shows up? Max Chill has a hook for a hand, but it's not real.
He's kayfabing a hook.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, it's not real. I'm wearing it so people would think it was another gun.
Well, they want him to think, they want him to, wait, does it say it's because it's another gun, or they wanted him to wear it because...
So it's another gun, as in, like, another hired gun, another person.
Right, but I think they wanted him to wear the hook because they wanted it to think that it was the guy that killed Boston Brand.
I guess. I mean, where did Boston Brand die? Did he die in Gotham?
I don't know.
Because that'd be a really shitty town for any circus people, because we're running, like, 3 dead circus people.
Yeah. That's not a good town. Don't go if you're a circus.
If you are a trapeze artist in the circus, don't go to Gotham.
That's why, as far as Gotham, as I
because someone will murder you.
That's why, as far as we've been able to tell, Gotham only gets hardcore punk shows that Jim Gordon ruins.
That's right.
Or the Bare Naked Ladies.
Jim Gordon in that episode of Gotham arrested everyone at that punk show for moshing. That made me so angry, because he literally, Lori Petty's up on stage, she's singing, people are moshing, and Jim just goes, you're all under arrest.
Yeah,
then he said, he didn't do anything. All they were doing was moshing, and he arrested every single fucking one of them.
You know how that scene got written? Somebody watched the Will Ferrell as Janet Reno and the Janet Reno dance party. No moshing, you know. And so they were like, oh, you know, it'd be great if we did this with Jim Gordon. You know why? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because apparently Jim Gordon is so fucking uptight and out of touch. He does not know what moshing is. So he just arrested.
Don't worry. This show's going to be
everyone.
This show's over anyways.
It's getting one more season.
Seriously, we somehow survived to get into a second season. And this show is garbage. We haven't watched episodes. I kind of want to know if it follows up on Bruce Wayne's love for deicide.
That was, you know what? That was only in, like, the first one or two episodes, and then we never saw it again.
I feel like that was, like, one of the first scenes we had.
Because he was, like, listening to, like, seriously heavy metal and, like, drawing people hanging, and I was like, oh, Bruce Wayne's that kid.
Yeah. It was like his parents died, and then he decided to listen to Napalm Death.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to draw this shit.
Yeah, and it's like...
We never followed up on it.
No, never followed up on it.
Horseshit.
What happened
to Bruce... What a pile, Batman.
What happened to Bruce Wayne's love of black metal?
Somebody
explain this.
Celtic Frost, be damned. So, anyway, okay, this is actually one of my confusing things. So,
yeah,
so the hook guy shows up, Batman... Deadman jumps into...
Batman. He jumps into Batman.
Jumps into Batman, and he's like...
And then he finds out, like, he starts fighting this guy, even though he finds out that he's not his killer. And then he's like, oh, wait, I suck at this, so I better leave and hope Batman can, like, finish the job.
Right. Well, he starts off by picking up a bunch of these coins that came or falling out of this machine.
And just, like, throwing them
at him. He throws, like... $8 and quarters at this guy. Because you can see all these, they're actual quarters. So he's actually taking, like, he just takes a bank.
I assume if that would do something.
I could probably count all these quarters here. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five.
I think you're right about it being about $8.
It's about $6.50 of worth of quarters.
Like, if you're going to get in a fight, did you just fling quarters at somebody?
Well, it's either that or you put the... You for God's sake, hope those are rolled up quarters. You put those in your hand, right, and you punch somebody with it, and you do a Lex Luger.
Right.
And that's how you beat Harlem Heat.
But I mean, like, what if you... So let's say we're at the laundromat.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And there's that weird guy who's always at the laundromat. You know which guy I'm talking about. The guy who is somehow always damp.
Yes.
That guy. And he's like, I'm going to fight you.
Oh, yes.
And you just, like... grab the quarters you have and you just fling them at him. How do you think that's going to go?
Well, if I flung it into his face, I'd probably have a shot, because then I could get the jump on him.
Yeah, probably.
Although here it just looks like he just throws it at the guy's body. He's just like, quarters! and then they start punching.
Suppressing fire!
But as this is... Oh, sorry, what?
I said suppressing fire.
Yes. So as he's doing it, you know, as they're fighting, like, you know, Boston in Batman's body, the best body,
right,
is getting his ass handed to him, because this guy's got a
hook,
his hook, and he's like, I'm gonna gut you.
Yeah,
he goes, I'm gonna hook you into next week, and I'm gonna put this in your guts. And he's scratching them up, and now we get to the point where we see the cover image.
Yeah, and that's when Boss is like, "Ooh, I better get out of here because
he just bails."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm losing."
He's like, "Don't worry." He's like, "Yo, fuck Batman."
And every time somebody leaves, like if he leaves someone's body, they're all disoriented and shit because they don't know what just happened.
Right.
But luckily, Batman's like gets to it pretty quickly. He's like, "Oh no, I'm about to be murdered by this guy," and so he like kicks him, and Batman kicks him into the like. Pile of slot. It's like a stack of slot machines.
He knocks him into the pile of slot machines, which, okay, we'll go ahead.
So he knocks him into the slot machines, which then fall on this dude.
Yeah.
And that dude dies.
Well, yes. So this is, okay, I have, here's
that dude was just murdered.
Here's what I don't understand. First of all, if they're slot machines.
Yes.
Like table, like bar, top bar.
Sure.
Slot machines, they're pretty heavy, so I can't imagine somehow, unless it maybe it's just one that falls on him, or unless they all fall down.
I don't know, because he, like, there's a fucking room full of slot machines. They are stacked in various ways, and this dude gets thrown into them, and they still have money in them, so that makes them heavier.
Yes.
And they just topple on this guy.
They topple on this guy, and as this happens, we do learn eventually that the hook was a fake on his hand, and that he just had the hook on his hand, so...
Well, that's what he told them.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a phony hook.
Yeah, it's a phony hook. So they think I was another person. Oh, here, by the way, is 3 lemons.
Yeah, the lemons.
Drawn in a panel, like on the slot machine. That guy's dead.
And the guy dies as the lemons come up.
Yeah, and dude's dead.
And he's like, "Well, hey, I was hired by the paymaster. Easy loans, dead."
Dead.
And Batman's kind of like, yay, because he goes, "He's gone. The Chill Brothers are out of my life forever." Yeah!
Good job, Batman.
It'd be funny if there was...
They just leave his body there. They're just like, "All right, gotta go." They don't call anybody.
I would love it if he took a moment to go and like celebrate, like him and be, like he's like,
"Yo, go to a bar."
He's like, "Yo, yo, dead man, jump in my body. Let's go to a bar. Let's go celebrate the murder of these people, the murder of these brothers." I killed with a slot machine. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was great. Murder.
It was fucking awesome. So they go to hunt down this paymaster, and they go to, like, I'm assuming it's like a check cashing place or whatever.
Sure.
Or some guy that's in there that's the paymaster.
And that guy's dead too. And he has just like a note.
He just has a random piece of a paper that came from a ledger, and it just says Sacred River Account. And so
Batman's like, "Quick, we gotta go to a river."
Well, Batman just looks at the piece of the paper and he just goes, "This is the answer to everything." I'm like, okay, fine.
Well, you know.
And so he's like, "Well, why?" And then basically, and I don't know why they're thinking. Well, they're just because, they can't hear each other. So,
right.
So Batman's just like, "Well, that Sacred River Account means it has to do with this poem, Kubla Khan. There's a place Xanadu."
So he's
where
like,
Alf apparently is in this poem.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh my god, it's my it's my buddy.
Yeah.
It's that blonde guy who hates me. So we gotta go back to his Aztec temple," and they do. And they get in because he's like doing karate but also sitting on a throne.
Oh, he's doing throne karate. Maybe he's just playing like karate champ.
Maybe he's just, it's just like a big fucking Barca lounger. Yeah. And he's just, you know, he has an Atari.
He's playing Atari, and then we'll go inside and we see apparently he's got this butler who's like, the guy that
friends.
The paymaster has been discharged.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the karate boy is like, "Yo, this is great because now I'm like on this
because I'm campaign. I'm the head of the syndicate
because I'm the head of the syndicate because I'm the king, you know." So apparently he's Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and so then Batman shows up.
He's like, "Oh no, time to fight you, Batman."
Yeah.
And so he's like, "I'm a karate master, time to fight." So here comes some goons. And so Boston Brand jumps into one of the goon's bodies and punches the other goon. The guy's like, "Mike, what?" And he gets punched. And then this is my favorite part. He's like, "I got to dispatch this other guy." So he runs head first into a wall. So the guy gets knocked out.
It's a pretty funny panel because so it's the way that it, yeah, because you see, so Batman's fighting this dude with the guy with a sword, and in the background, the dead man is just hurling himself into the wall.
Just over and over again. So Batman's like in the center of the room and he's like standing on a trap.
Yes.
Which
apparently the trap does shit.
Yeah, and so it starts to open, and then Batman jumps out of it and, like, knocks the blonde guy down, and then the butler is there with a gun.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm going to shoot you, Batman. And Deadman's trying to get to him before he fires, but it doesn't work. So the guy fires. Batman moves a little bit.
Well, I think something happens where Deadman gets in just enough to make their...
To make it move a smidge, maybe.
Yeah, and he shoots...
It basically hits the sword that the blonde guy's been carrying.
Kane, yeah.
And it bounces off of that and kills him.
Yeah.
It hits him and he's dead. And so Batman's just like looking at his body just like, yup.
Yeah.
Dead.
Batman killed like three people that night.
Yeah.
Definitely two people.
Batman has been involved in a lot of deaths tonight.
Batman in the 70s was a rampaging murderer.
Yeah. I mean, look, see, you could say that he's holding that guy's hand. Like, he could have done that on purpose.
Maybe.
So he's like, he just killed all these people in this book.
He's like, well, that guy was crazy, and now he's dead.
R.I.P. that guy. Oh, well, continue on my way.
And then we get the news, the newsletter, you know, the news from the next day, and it's like Batman breaks syndicate. There's a picture. There's Batman's headshot. There's that dead body. Yeah.
And then Batman, of course, is cleared of beating up that guy, I guess. It's never mentioned.
I don't know. Maybe Batman had to go to court.
It's never mentioned.
Ooh, I hope it was like...
night court?
Oh, I hope he went to, like, people's court.
Oh, I bet he did. Judge Joe Brown?
Or maybe Judge Judy?
Oh, dude, Judge Judy. Judge Judy's not going to take Batman's bullshit.
I would love it if Judge Judy... It's like... Yeah, because I've never watched an episode of Judge Judy.
Oh, I've seen some episodes.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a good episode of Batman showing up and this guy being like, he punched me! I want a dollar!
And then Batman in full costume and Judge Judy just yelling at him to take off his cowl.
So you're going to take that thing off in my house.
In my courtroom, sir.
In my courtroom.
So then Batman is just like standing near a wall.
So he said, they're just looking at the paper and Batman, he's like, hey, dead man, sorry we couldn't find your guy that was dead. You know, yeah. The guy that killed you. You know, so I'm sorry.
And so he like possesses Batman's hand and he like leaves him a message.
Basically, he's just like, we'll get him next time, buddy. And he's like, all right.
He's like, adios, dead man. Because he says adios.
Adios.
So Batman also says adios.
Yo habla espanol.
Yeah. 1968, man. That was a big deal. So that's the end.
That's it. That's how it ends.
And that's it.
Batman, it ends with the dead man.
Walking away.
Doing a rub out.
Yep. Going to go find that guy in the alleyway again. Because you know that guy's still there.
That guy's waiting. He's okay, that guy was like, man, I'm having a good time.
Yeah. He's like, this is the best alley, except for that dead guy.
Except for that time I saw a guy get murdered.
Other than that, this is my old reliable alleyway.
You can tell my friends about this alley. You can get a rub out.
Your own personal rub out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for this book. That's it for, I have to go way back to the beginning here. Brave and the Bold, number 79, from September 1968. That's it for this book. Would you read the next issue of this?
Oh, of course. I love these.
Which I think they're we do. So we fun. Have it. It's here.
I know. It's in this trade that we
gigantic,
bought.
Gigantic, awesome trade, which...
Bronze Age, Batman, Brave and Bold.
I can't think of... I mean, honestly, this is like the best.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Because you've got... Not only do you have Batman... You have two Batman and Deadman stories.
Yeah.
There's another one that's later
on. There's Batman and the Metal Men.
There's Batman and Metal Men. There's Batman and Aquaman and Green Arrow.
There's a Spectre one in there.
There's a Spectre one. There's Wonder Woman and...
Batgirl.
Batgirl together.
Yep.
There's a Teen Titans one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Sergeant Rock one.
Oh, there's shit.
There's a Batman... have you looked at all the covers in this?
No, I haven't.
I'm gonna let you discover them because I've already kind of come across a few of these, and you're going to really enjoy these.
There's a couple. There was one in here that we were like talking about, but I'm like, that might be racist.
Oh, the Spectre
the
one.
Spectre
yeah.
one. I'm like, oh, that
well,
looks
there's
like
a,
it's
because there's like a because there's like an a like a Chinese Asian guy,
an that Asian guy that they're battling, and I'm like, oh,
and
that
we know
might
how sensitive the '60s, the late '60s were.
I was going to say it's 1968 here.
I'm like, oh boy. Be a lot of guys talk about Red China.
I was gonna say it might be fucking racist.
but this is great. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to volume two of this, which
be awesome. So excited for it. I love these little collections. I'm so happy they decided to start doing
these. I might actually read this tonight.
Yeah.
Because I want to know about that. There is a one with him and Wildcat.
Yeah.
I'll just basically describe the cover. Wildcat is standing in front, so he's standing behind a line of children, and Batman is yelling at him for some reason. And he's like, basically, he's like, fuck these kids and fuck you. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, God.
It's just like, because what happens is like these scenes that they pull for the covers,
I know,
are things that are just so fleeting and out of context.
Yes, I know. That's why I love them so much. I'm like, this is why I love comics from back then. Like, because they're all so fucking weird, and the covers are just like, oh my God. Because
that's literally every, like,
it's every fucking one of them.
Every World's Finest, every Action Comics, every Lois Lane.
Every Batman from that era. I just fucking love them. I love them so much.
And I don't understand.
Like, why did we stop doing that?
Why did we stop doing that?
Because this is amazing. We should continue to do this.
There should just be, like, why can't there just be, like, one universe or just something where we're just doing these stories?
That's what I mean.
Or just,
like, should just be one book. There should be one. It can be an Elsewhere Worlds or whatever. And it's just weird fucking stories like this.
Yeah.
And they've got covers like this. And it's just all this throwback. And you can do it with a wink. Whatever. But, like, I would buy that every single week. I would love it.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm
every month I'd buy it.
I can't wait. I really can't wait to read the rest of these.
I know. I'm excited.
Because I'm dying to find out why Batman is yelling at a bunch of kids and Wildcat. I just need to. There's also one where, like, the Teen Titans, he's like, it's something like, basically, like, Robin's like, suck my dick, Batman, you know? Because like, that's what it amounts to. It's just like, usually these issues amount to a hero being like, eat my ass, Batman, you know? And then they're walking away, and it's like, what happened?
Yeah. Ooh. It's great.
Yeah, I can't wait. So that's it for this week's show. You could check us out on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN is how you spell Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Find us on Facebook at Worst Collection Ever. Email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And, of course, Facebook. You can find us there. Please check us out there. Also, check out my other podcast, I Could Talk Kayfabe, with Joe Todaro. Me and him doing wrestling magazine reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's been moving, so we've had a hard time getting on episodes. So if you listen to that show, which you should if you like wrestling, or if you don't like wrestling, we try to be funny. You can check that out, and we'll hopefully be able to be more regular as Joe gets settled and I get settled. So that and
iTunes,
yes, or Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review the show
wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast, rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. Give us the best rating. We really appreciate your feedback. We've gotten a few new reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is great to see. Mm-hmm. And I do like some of the comments I get on Twitter from time to time.
Yeah.
Our Tech World episodes. Somebody commented on it and said, I think it was the Coffee and Comics blog, said pretty much, because I summed it up in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's pretty, like, I basically said, like, William Shatner's Avatar, sweater-wearing Avatar fight, takes on Garth Brooks 2099.
Yeah, 100%.
And they're like, you pretty much summed up the series right there.
That's exactly what
I was like,
yeah,
I think so. I mean, I call it like I see it.
Yep.
I call it like I see it.
Yep.
Just like in this episode, Batman goes on a murderous rampage.
After some guy who's masturbating in an alleyway witnesses a murder. Also, there's a ghost.
And then a man gets murdered by a slot machine. The end. Or something. I mean, Batman goes on a murderous rampage and punches a
Batman beats up an innocent civilian.
Batman, is this basically Batman Grand Theft Auto?
That's really what this is.
Which, let's be honest.
That's it, because the only thing that makes sense for Batman walking down the street. Just walking, just for no fucking reason. He's just like, do, and then just fighting whatever pedestrian he comes across.
I wish that you can do that as the, because you can basically do that in the Lego games, but it's Lego, so it's,
it's not the same.
It's not the same. If it was like Arkham City, and you're just like Batman, and then like everybody else is still out on the streets.
So, you know how there was that John Cena GTA thing?
Yes.
Where he was just like, somebody made a John Cena character, and just made him just fall into people over and over again while playing his theme music, which is probably the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I might actually watch that video again after we're done here.
Could you do that? Could you make a Batman? Like, could you do a mod where it's like...
I think you could do anything you want.
A Batman, and he just goes around and just punches pedestrians and runs away?
Yes.
Because I'd like that. That'd be
great. I appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got to stop the show because I got to watch that video again.
Okay.
So, thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.